I'm glad you didn't, Marcia, I'm glad you didn't drop my laptop. Thank you. Praise God. God is just so good. As I mentioned each time I'm up here, it is really humbling, and it is just so much of a joy to be able to just share. To share my heart and to just be with the body and hopefully give you a word of encouragement. I always have these second thoughts, and I realize it's really the enemy. I think, you know, if people had fruit, they might throw fruit at me if something's not right. But you can't do that. You could throw pens at me or something, but you're not going to do that. Sean, it's great to see you back. It wasn't worst of great with Sean. Good job, Sean. Looking forward to having you back here. And Greg, thanks for that report. We've been praying for you. It's just nice to see pictures and really see the progress there. We miss you. Incidentally, your son-in-law, Anthony, did a terrific job last night, didn't he? He did a good job. He showed some pictures of you, or a picture. It looked amazing. You look good. You look really good. He chose a good one. I want to talk to you all today about who wears the crown. Who wears the crown in your life? In our Bible reading, we have been reading in the book of Ezekiel, if you've been following along. Some of the Old Testament stuff gets a little heavy to read, but there are applications in the way that we look at it. The theme is about the people of Judah letting go of God and letting the cultural influences of their day rule their way of life. They followed the ways of the Egyptian gods and the Assyrian gods and the Babylonian gods, and they let their beliefs in them reign in their lives instead of trusting in God. Here's a key verse that God spoke to Ezekiel about the problem. I guess I'll read it myself since I saw what happened to Anthony last week, okay? It says, "The sovereign Lord says, look at Jerusalem. I put her at the center of the world with other countries all around her. But Jerusalem rebelled against my commands and showed that she was more wicked than all other nations, more disobedient than the countries around her. Jerusalem rejected my commands and refused to keep my laws." And then he speaks directly to Jerusalem. He says, "Now listen, Jerusalem, to what I say, to what I, the sovereign Lord, am saying. By not obeying my laws and keeping my commands, you have caused more trouble than the nations around you. You have followed the customs of other nations. And so I, the sovereign Lord, am telling you that I am your enemy. I will pass judgment on you where all the nations can see it." And he did that. They were in captivity for 70 years in Babylon. In other words, the people and their leaders and even the priesthood at the time said no to God and allowed their lives and their values and their doubts and fears and their trust to be ruled by the gods of another kingdom. And that was idolatry. In the same way, it's easy enough for us to drift and put more of our trust in the culture we live in than in God's kingdom. The people built altars back then of stone and wood and fire, and they made their sacrifices to find security. Today, we can build like really high-end cars. We can build our educational and work resumes. We can build our technologies, our 401ks, and make our sacrifices too to find some security, right? I'm not saying that we're all idolaters, so just relax. I'm saying we have the same potential to let things reign over our security other than the Most High God. Okay? Our possessions, our hopes, our dreams, our trials and tribulations can all wear the crown over our lives. So in Ezekiel's day, God's people were putting more faith and trust in the voice of their culture than in the voice of God. And it prevented them from entering God's rest. The result was they lived lives as captives in Babylon, filled with uncertainty and insecurity about everything. And today, we all face situations where we don't feel secure how things are going to work out for us. A doctor's report wasn't good. Our child's heading in the wrong direction. They're heading for trouble. We had a setback in our employment or in our finances. If we're not careful, we can give ourselves over to our problems. That's all we end up thinking about. It begins to rule over us and has power over us. We go around worried, stressed out, we can't sleep, we feel confused. And although we're God's people, it's like we're living in captivity day to day. The whole time, God is in control. We say that, we confess that all the time. He should wear the crown, but the mistake we make too often is we take the crown off from God and we put it onto our problem. What you consistently think about, right? What you're giving all your attention to, you're putting the crown on. When you're always thinking about the goodness of God, and you go through the day thanking Him, knowing that He's the one that's going out before you, He's the one that's fighting your battles, you're worshiping God. It's the same principle, though. If you go around worried about your problems, obsessed about how things are going to work out, stressed out about your health, reliving an offense that has happened to you, giving these things all your highest attention, it's like you're worshiping the problem. You're crowning it and giving it authority over your life. Our whole outlook would change if we would take the crown off of our problem and place it back where it belongs, with the Lord. You may be facing some sort of a trial today, like the loss of a loved one, or an impossible kind of legal battle, a tough consequence as a result of maybe a bad mistake that you made. And it's easy to go around letting the situation rule over you by playing it over and over again, thinking of all the reasons why it's not going to work out, how things are only going to get worse for you. The more you obsess about it, the more out of control it becomes. You know, it's interesting. We were just praying for David Hamm, the gentleman who was lost, because I sort of have an insight around that. Just the other day, I forgot where I put my keys twice in one day. And I started to imagine, well, what if I have dementia? And then but this is how it goes, right? And then I imagined if I had to walk instead of drive, I'd probably get lost. And then I took it even a step further. I know you guys don't obsess this way. I took it a step further and thought, well, then if I was kidnapped during my walk and taken for ransom, like, who would want to do that, right? I couldn't give them my name because I can't remember. So that's obsessing, right, over just misplacing my keys. That's wrong. And I'm not trying to make light of dementia. I'm just saying we take things and we run with it. And when we can put a crown on it, when it becomes out of control. I'm saying we have to take the crown off the things we worry over. A bad diagnosis, a bad outlook on our finances. Don't let that circumstance reign over you. Don't let that setback become greater than your God. He's big enough. God is big enough. He's big enough to wear the crown in your situation. Back in May, we were in 1 Samuel. If you remember, when David faced Goliath, He never called him a giant. He never said, look how big he is. Look how strong. I don't have a chance. He called him an uncircumcised Philistine. He downplayed his importance. The truth is, Goliath was a giant. The scripture says he was about 10 feet. He was nearly twice David's size. But David understood this principle. He didn't allow the fear of Goliath to take over him. He kept the crown on his God. He said this. He said to Goliath, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel. Sickness has a name, but there's a name that's higher than cancer. Do you know that? Your family problems may be giant, but there is no match for the stature of your God. Do you know that? He's big enough to wear the crown. So quit remembering how big the problem is and start remembering how big your God is. Your doctor doesn't have the final say over your health. The company that you work for doesn't have the final say over who provides for you. Your Heavenly Father says this, I am Jehovah Rapha. I am your healer. I am Jehovah Jireh. I am your provider. People and companies have limitations, church. God is limitless. We are natural. God is supernatural. He has all the power. He can do what people cannot do. But here's the key. If he's not wearing the crown in your situation, you're not giving him a chance. You're not letting the Holy Spirit do his part. You can say, you are Lord, but in the same breath, you're saying, but you're not going to handle this one. I've done that. I've done it. In other words, we can hear the truth, but we really don't believe. I heard about this burglar who was breaking into a house one night. He was stealing the stereo when he heard a voice that said, Jesus is watching you. He froze in his tracks. He turned his flashlight into the corner of the room, and he saw a parrot on a perch sitting there. He said, did you say that to me? The parrot said, yes, and I'm just trying to warn you. The burglar said, warn me? What are you talking about? Who are you? The parrot said, my name is Moses, and I'm warning you, Jesus is watching you. The burglar laughed and said, what kind of crazy people would name a parrot Moses? The parrot said, the same kind of crazy people that would name a 150-pound Rottweiler Jesus. What am I saying? Sometimes we hear, but we just don't believe. God's Spirit works where there's an attitude, of faith and obedience. You can't have business worries, family conflicts reigning and ruling over you and have God reigning at the same time. Who wears the crown in your life today? The God of sorrow and regret wants to wear it. The past, a mistake you've made, your insecurities would all love to lord over you. It's time to decrown those things, and it's time to put the crown back on the one who's big enough to wear it. He has you in his hand. Here's what he promises out of Isaiah. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will help you. That's what God's saying. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Nothing you're facing is too much for Him. And instead of dwelling on all the negative, the worry, the past, the problems, the addictions, start dwelling on the greatness of God. David said, I don't look to the mountains for help. I look to the God who made the mountains. It's a powerful thing when you can say, God, you created the universe. You spoke worlds into existence. You placed the stars in the sky. And God, I know you're stronger than sickness. You're greater than my loved one's struggles. And you're more powerful than this problem. What are you doing? You're keeping the crown on Christ and off the false gods who keep people captive every single day. In the scripture, Job said, The thing that I feared came upon me. I have no peace. I have no rest. And trouble keeps coming. He's saying the problem I gave permission to become in my life, the fears I focused on, came to pass. Don't do what the people of Judah did when they were in exile. They gave their fears, their concerns, and hopes over to the gods of their day, hoping that they would feel more secure. Maybe you've been through a really unfair situation in your life. Somebody's done you wrong. They've broken trust with you. They've somehow abused you. And instead of letting it go and trusting God to be your vindicator, you've held on to it. Now you're living offended, with no passion, replaying the hurt over and over. The problem is, you have given that offense the crown. As long as you think about it, replaying what didn't work out, it's going to affect your life. But the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit that you have in you, can take the crown off that hurt when you can't. Nothing that has happened to you has to keep you from God's freedom. He upholds you, the scripture says, with His righteous right hand. He wouldn't have allowed it if it was going to stop His great plan and purpose for your life. But it's easy to focus on what didn't work out, to live offended, trying to pay people back, trying to prove that we can make it without them. Quit letting that consume you. Decrown it and crown God in your situation. They've hurt you once. Don't let them continue to hurt you by holding on to it. When Jesus wears the crown, He heals the brokenhearted. He heals the brokenhearted if you let Him. That's what He came for. That's His statement. He'll be your vindicator. He will prove what's right. He'll take what was meant for harm and use it to His advantage. But you have to do your part. The Spirit will help you take the crown off of your disappointment, off of the offense. God knows what's happened. He is the God of justice. He said your latter days are going to be greater than your former days as you trust Him. What are you crowning today in your life? The hurt? The offense? The bad chapter? It's time to release it and place it where it belongs. He'll start reigning when you invite Him to reign. He'll give you beauty. He'll give you beauty for those ashes. He'll bring you through the difficulty better than you were before because He upholds you in His hand. You know, in the book of Exodus, this is just the greatest story, right, of redemption. This is what Joseph did. He went through one bad circumstance after another. It didn't make sense. Joseph was doing all the right things, but he was betrayed by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. He was falsely accused by his employer's wife. And then he was He was tossed into prison. He could have been discouraged and thought, this isn't fair. My life is over. It's finished. But he understood that God is sovereign, that things are going to happen in life that we just don't understand. He didn't turn to the gods of the Egyptians and let them reign in his life. Despite all the people trying to hold him down, God caused him to rise up. As Joseph put it, he knew he was in the place of God. He later said to his brothers, "What you intended against me for evil, God intended for good in order to accomplish his will." Church, people don't determine God's will for your life. They cannot stop God's plan for your life unless you allow them, by crowning them as more important than the Lord. God gave Joseph favor. The Pharaoh liked him so much he brought him out of prison, and he later made him the prime minister of Egypt. Joseph went from being a slave to becoming a ruler. That's how the sovereignty of God works when he wears the crown in your life. You move from being a slave to things to having authority over things in your life. God reigns even when life isn't fair. He reigns when life isn't fair. You have to be in a situation now. You may be in this where it just doesn't make sense to you. You were doing all the right things, but the wrong thing happened. Are you going to let bitterness or self-pity or discouragement rule? Or are you going to be like Joseph and let God wear the crown, knowing that he's the sovereign and that he's going to do the work, all the work for his purpose on your behalf? Do your part and let him reign. And when you're tempted, don't worry when your thoughts are telling you it's finished. You're over. It's never going to work. That happens all the time. Recognize what's happening. The doubt, the worries, the offense. It's trying to put the crown back on and take your freedom. You have to put your foot down and say to that discouragement, by the authority of Jesus, you will not rule here. The power of the Holy Spirit will break the hold on that situation. You don't have to take it off once. You have to keep it. You have to keep it off. All through the day, worry will try to creep back in. Discouragement, self-pity. There's always something trying to wear the crown. God said in Isaiah, "If you keep your mind stayed on me, I'll keep you in perfect peace." He was saying, in effect, if you'll keep the crown on me, if you'll say no to worry, no to doubt, no to the offense, and say yes to the Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit, then you'll live life in my peace, regardless of your circumstance, your situation. What things do you allow to reign? Are you living depressed, upset? I wonder how much more we would see and hear, how much more we would be transformed into his likeness if we would simply get in the habit of crowning him with many crowns throughout the day, like that old song says. Sometimes we're putting the crown on ourselves, right? We're stressed out trying to fix everybody and everything in our life. Do you ever try to fix other people? Yes, you do. We try to make our ambitions come to pass, make our family members think the way that we think, make our own promotions. We don't have to make everything happen in our own strength. Too often we're frustrated by things that only God can change. We're completely preoccupied over something that we have no control over. But we don't want his help. It's a mystery, right? Back in 1973, I heard this story in church that I'll never forget. It's about a man who took a trip to the coastline. As he stood out on the cliff's edge, enjoying the view of the ocean crashing against the rocks down below, his foot gave way, and he suddenly found himself sliding out of control over the steep cliffside. On his way down, he managed to grab on to a small tuft of grass to keep him from tumbling to the rocks below. And in desperation, he looked up and he cried, "Is anybody out there?" And a voice from up above spoke to him and said, "This is God. I won't let you fall. Just let go." The man paused for a moment, looked up again and said, "Is there anybody else up there?" What am I saying? You're not always going to be in control. Take the pressure off. Look to the one who the scripture says is able to keep you from falling. The gods of our culture want to keep you captive. Okay? The gods of our culture want to keep you captive and out of control with fear, uncertainty, and doubt. That is the truth. Just as in the days of Judah's captivity. It's just a different culture. It's a different time. The enemy works the same way, folks. Don't live stressed out thinking you have to do 1,000 things perfectly right before the circumstance is going to get better. Allow, make room for him to reign. Your intentions may be good, but you need to take off the crown. You can't make people do what's right. You can pray for them. You can encourage them. But we can't control them. They have their own free will. Take off the crown and say, "God, you reign over my loved one. You reign over my child. You reign over my spouse. You reign over this addiction. Thank you that you will fulfill their purpose and their days for you." As long as you're wearing the crown, worrying, upset, self-serving, letting God reign, then he's just going to allow you to do it your way. That's the story of God's people in the book of Ezekiel. They did it their way and served their gods, and they lived in exile, away from the land that God had intended for them. I missed a slide here. This is my final point. My final point is this. When you invite him to wear the crown, not only will you live more peacefully, God's going to fight your battles. Okay? Second Chronicles, I think we read this back in August. Great story. Great illustration. King Jehoshaphat and his people were surrounded by 3 major armies. And they were highly outnumbered. If you read the chapters before, you all must read this chapter in chapter 20, 2 Chronicles. The chapters before said this king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, he had a standing army of 1.2 million people. That is a huge army that he had. And yet he was outnumbered. Okay, this was not a skirmish. This was an epic battle that not even Tolkien could think about. Okay, this is huge. The people could have panicked and fallen apart, but Jehoshaphat, here's what he did. He called everyone together and prayed. Note, he didn't deny that the problem existed. He didn't say, We don't have a big problem on our hands. He admitted they were outnumbered, but he didn't stop there. Here's what he said. He went on to say, "We have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That attitude, that is crowning the Lord. There's nothing wrong with saying, God, the problem is bigger than me. These enemies are more powerful than me. But don't stop there. Follow it up with, but God, my eyes are on you. I may not have the power, but Lord, you have all the power. When you keep him crowned, you'll be at peace when you could be panicked. You'll be praising when you could be complaining. God told Jehoshaphat to put the singers and the praisers out in front. Amazing. And march toward the three armies. God has ways of doing things that you never thought of. You never even conceived of. When the armies heard all the commotion, the armies got confused and they began to fight among each other. And they ended up killing each other. So when the people of Judah arrived, they didn't even have to fight. They went in and just gathered up the spoils. The scripture says that it took them 3 days to bring in the supplies and treasures back home. Wow. Jehoshaphat, like that, our own problems, when we look at them at times, they seem vast. They seem overwhelming. And it may feel like you are outnumbered in your situation 10-1. On your own, you can't see how your loved one could ever come back to Christ. On your own, you could never see how you could forgive yourselves for some of the things that you've done in the past that haunt you. Or you couldn't see how you could possibly be free from a past relationship that you've had. The good news is you're not alone. You're not on your own. You have the most powerful force in the universe on your side. You have the Holy Spirit in you, and he will fight your battles. That's what the scripture says. Sean, can I have you come up while we're closing here? What's on your mind today? What are you worrying about? What are you losing sleep over? What or who have you given up on? It's time to take the authority away from the situation and put the crown back on God. Here's the key. He has ways to turn your battle around that you never thought of. You may not know what to do, but when your eyes are on him, he'll make a way that you don't see. He can defeat your enemies that are bigger and a lot more powerful than you. The psalmist said, God inhabits the praises. He inhabits when we praise him. And another version, it says, he's actually enthroned when we praise him, within our praises. When you give God praise through it, you are crowning him. When you pray, do like David did. Discouragement, depression,